We begin with last week. Last Friday was Veterans Day, a day that celebrates all of America's veterans and marks the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. Orange County held its annual Veterans Day ceremony at the Seymour Center, joined this time by UNC. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
The sound of taps from a lone bugle helped finish out the Orange County Veterans Day ceremony in the Seymour Senior Center on Friday. Many in attendance stood solemnly, while some of the veterans there saluted the flags. Standing to the side of the stage where the music was played, where they had been at attention or saluting for the entire event, were dozens of UNC students in the school's Army ROTC program. Friday marked the first time the university joined the county's Veterans Day recognition, and once taps had finished and the programming wrapped up, those students mulled about speaking with the many retired veterans and Orange County residents there. Fred Black, an Orange County community member and retired U.S. Army colonel, said having those UNC students and future soldiers on hand made for a special opportunity.
One of the benefits is our young cadets and midshipmen see people who served in various battles and wars over the years, and they can talk to them. And that's not something that happens all that often. And we can talk to them. And talking to them this morning, hearing their stories, has just been great.
Lieutenant Colonel Dan Hurd heads up the UNC Army ROTC program. After being invited to speak at the 2020 Veterans Day ceremony by the county, he got to experience that local program and agreed to work to bring the young cadets to the annual event moving forward.
I love having the future of the Army with the people that created the legacy that we're following. So, you know, we wanted to show them that the Army is strong, that the UNC Army ROTC program is producing leaders of character who are committed to that selfless service that these veterans so gallantly showed them and demonstrated for them. So it's great to see them mingling, great representatives for our young men and women.
As part of the celebration having the university involved this year, Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz helped deliver remarks and introduce the guest speaker, retired Major General George Higgins. During the pair of speeches, both Guskowitz and Higgins reflected on their own appreciation of those who served and how they recognize Veterans Day. Hurd said on Friday he was reflecting on those same themes.
I think about the men and women that served before me, that came before me, the men and women that I've served with that have lost their lives, the ones that are still serving. It's just special to be part of a community that has shared values of selfless service and the values on which the Constitution is based.
Black, meanwhile, said he's also grateful that much of the U.S. military is able to recognize Veterans Day in safer territory. He also said the holiday is a special moment for community members to visit a place close to his heart, the Orange County Veterans Memorial. The project launched 6 years ago on Friday, first breaking ground in 2017 on several phases of construction. Phases 1 and 2 are now complete, as a permanent flagpole and brick area with donor names were installed in a forest clearing near the Seymour Center. Black is on the leadership committee for the memorial and has been involved since its initial fundraising stages. The retired colonel said each year he sees photos on social media reminding him of the progression the memorial has made so far.
As I scroll through these November pictures moving through the years, I see the clearing, and then I see a flagpole, then I see the wall, and then I see all of the special touches our architect designed, and then I see the pavers. And when you stand back and look at that, it's just amazing to see the progress we've made.
To learn more updates about the Orange County Veterans Memorial and to see photos from Friday's ceremony, visit chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Election Day was also last week, and our coverage focused on the races and the outcomes. Worth noting also, though, that the election itself ran smoothly across the state. Officials were on alert for unruly behavior from poll observers, but that did not really transpire. The State Board of Elections received a total of 21 reports of conduct violations for the entire general election cycle, including just one report on Election Day itself. Winners on election night included Chatham County's Robert Reeves, who got reelected to the state house. Speaking with me after his win, Reeves reflected on past accomplishments, economically speaking, that have made Chatham County stronger today.
I've always felt that if you build a strong community, that the benefits come. And the benefit normally is economic development. And I don't think any district in the state has ever had a 2 years like Chatham County's had when it comes to economic development. And I think that that's on purpose. I don't think that happened by accident. I think it happened because of commissioners, town councils, mayors, and we've got a mixed group in Chatham County. You've got Republicans, you've got Democrats, but what we all understood is that what was best for the county is for us to make sure we were working together to do the best thing we could for constituents. And to get there, you've got to have a good education system. You've got to have great health care. You've got to have access to broadband, which we're still short on that and got to do better, and I hope we can do better. You've got to have clean water and good environmental circumstances. And we fought years ago when I first got in against fracking, and had we been fracked, we would not have had the economic development we have now, period. And so it's amazing to me at, one point, you had people trying to sell us on destroying our environment for 300 jobs when we just got a minimum of 9,000 jobs just this 2 years that would not have come had we allowed fracking in Chatham. So with that being said, it's good to see a vision come to fruition. And that is what I care about, and that's what I'm continuing to care about.
That's Robert Reeves speaking there. You can listen back to our entire election night coverage on the elections tab at chapelboro.com. Several local government meetings tonight. First up, the Chapel Hill Town Council meeting in the Chapel Hill Public Library this evening. After a closed session at 5 p.m., the council will meet at 6:30 to get an update on the town's five-year budget plan, hear a presentation on stormwater, and work to develop a master plan for replacing fire stations. The Hillsboro Town Board also meets tonight, 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Their agenda includes an update on Orange County's transit plan. And the Pittsboro Town Board is holding a work session tonight, also at 7. Most of their agenda will focus on the town's water and sewer systems. Get links to the full agendas at chapelboro.com. And finally, on campus, UNC hospitals have received a $3 million federal grant to become a designated treatment center for highly infectious diseases. NNO reporting this, UNC will be one of only 13 such treatment centers in the U.S., Emory University in Georgia is the only other one in the southeast. Visit chapelboro.com, our website, for more local news, including a piece about a new ABC store that recently opened in Southern Village. 6:18 is your time. Aaron Keck here with you this morning. We've got sports coming up in just a second. Speaking of which, today is Monday, and every Monday you can head over to People's Coffee just off I-40 by South Point for Matson Mondays, where you can order a Matson Mocha for only $5. The Matson Mocha is a special coffee creation from UNC field hockey superstar Aaron Matson. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. Just mentioned field hockey, so we'll start there. The top-ranked Tar Heels clinched their 26th trip to the Final Four with a pair of NCAA tournament wins over the weekend. Kennedy Cligget had two goals as Carolina beat Delaware 5-1 in the first round. And then Aaron Matson, the aforementioned, took over with three goals as UNC topped St. Joseph's 5-2 in Sunday's quarter. Now the Tar Heels head up to Connecticut for the NCAA semifinal. They'll face Penn State at noon on Friday. UNC women's soccer also got a win in their own NCAA tournament, 5-0 over Old Dominion in the first round, Allie Centner leading the way with two goals. Carolina's opponent in round two will be Georgia. That match will be in Chapel Hill, 5 p.m. on Thursday. And the UNC men's and women's cross-country teams are both through to the NCAA championships after finishing first and second, respectively, at the Southeast Regional over the weekend. First regional title for the men since at least 1980. The NCAA championships will be this weekend in Oklahoma. All of that is postseason activity. Tar Heel football clinched some postseason activity yesterday, Saturday, clinching a spot in the ACC title game with a 36-34 win over Wake Forest. You heard all of the drama right here on 97.9 The Hill. With your recap, here's 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
With his team facing a 4th-and-5, trailing Wake Forest by a point and the clock ticking toward 5 minutes remaining, Carolina head coach Mack Brown did something fans might not have expected. He trusted his defense. It was a defense which had given up 34 points and a 14-point first quarter lead to that point. But Brown's belief in the beleaguered unit, combined with a fiery speech from linebacker Cedric Gray, clearly had an effect. Wake's next two possessions ended in a Cam Kelly interception and a turnover on downs, helping UNC erase the one-point deficit and escape Winston-Salem with a win. Here's what Gray said he told the team in the game's home stretch.
I think the last two drives before we went out on the field, I kind of gathered the defense up and was like, hey, give it all you got. You know, put it all in, lay it all out, do what you got to do, execute your assignment perfectly, and we'll come out on top. I mean, I don't know if that's the reason that it happened, but hopefully it helped, and obviously, you know, we got the result that we wanted.
Kelly, who'd had a rough night before his game-changing interception, said the bounce-back effort proved the defense's toughness.
It says a lot about our defense. We got so much grit, got so much passion. You know, we just showed that we were the tougher team right there, and ended up with a big play and stops.
With Kelly, Gray, and others on the defense stepping up, the Tar Heels held the powerful Wake offense scoreless in the entire fourth quarter. The Demon Deacons had scored 27 points in the second and third quarters combined. It's part of a larger trend this season for the UNC defense, which has shown improvement in the second half of ACC games. Brown praised the work of defensive coach Gene Chizik Saturday night.
I think you got to give credit to Gene Chizik for just continuing to work through the game and finding ways to make it work. And that's what he's done his whole life, and he's really good at it. And if we can just keep scoring and hang in there, our defense is going to make enough plays to win at the end.
UNC's six road wins this year have come by a combined 20 points, with each one being decided by one possession. Needless to say, Carolina football in 2022 is not for the faint of heart. But though Tar Heel fans may have seen their lives flash before their eyes several times this season, Brown said his team's composure has stood out all year.
When you've got a team that doesn't panic and they keep working with confidence, that's really a cool thing. You know, you have so many young people that panic and give up and get mad and get frustrated, and these kids didn't do any of that.
The Tar Heels' 9-1 record is their best through 10 games since 2015, which ironically is the last time the team won the Coastal Division. And with a culture of trust thriving in the team, there's no reason to think they can't climb higher than even that team did. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Carolina up three spots to number 11 in the coaches poll this week, up two spots to number 13 in the AP rankings. And yesterday, the Walter Camp Football Foundation named Drake May as National Offensive Player of the Week. Elsewhere, UNC Wrestling beat Campbell at Fort Bragg on Friday before losing to fifth-ranked Michigan on Sunday. UNC Volleyball lost in straight sets to fifth-ranked Louisville. And it was a big weekend all around for UNC Basketball. Top-ranked Tar Heel men got a win, 102-86 on Friday over College of Charleston. Carolina trailed by 7 at halftime, but rolled to biscuits in the second. Armando Bacot leading the way with 28 points, 27 of those coming in the second half alone. Caleb Love added 25, plus a game-high 9 rebounds and 6 assists. Heels are back in action tomorrow night, hosting Gardner-Webb at 8. 12th-ranked UNC women's basketball also got a big win, 75-48 over TCU on Saturday. 5 Tar Heels scored in double figures for the second straight game, led by Alyssa Usby and Kennedy Todd Williams with 14 points each. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes fell to Colorado on Saturday, 4-1. They're back in action tonight at 8:30 on the road at Chicago. And that was a lot of sports activity that happened over the weekend. But our final bit of sports news is about something that will not be happening in the Triangle. North Carolina lost its bid to host the 2027 World University Games. The Triangle is one of two finalists to host the event, but the International University Sports Federation chose South Korea instead.